Yes, the stars in the
line. Did you trick me? Are we doing the motion
picture? No. The motion pictures. All the motion pictures.
Oh, all the motion pictures. Because I was under the impression we were doing something different.
Yeah, we're doing Wrath of Khan. It's amazing. Because the stars have aligned to bring us all together in the hope and light that is Star Trek. This is the Captain's Quadrant with your hosts, Jason Roy Gaston, and myself, Joe Dove. If you like Star Trek as much as we do, please be sure to, you know, do those fun, wonderful YouTube things. Subscribe, like, share, you know, let's do all those fun stuff. And we'd appreciate all of it. So we are here for probably, arguably, one of the greatest Star Trek films in the history of Star Trek film franchise.
That is inaccurate. It is one of the greatest films in the history of science fiction. And if you disagree, well...
As he casually drinks,
you are incorrect.
You are incorrect. Well, let's hop into the synopsis. Star Trek: The Wrath of Khan, with the assistance of the Enterprise crew, Admiral Kirk
must stop
an old nemesis.
Admiral
Khan Noonien Singh from using the life generating Genesis device as the ultimate weapon.
Yes, that's pretty much what happens.
Yeah, that's accurate. There was some long run synopsis, and I was like, nah.
Let's just get into the nitty gritty because this movie is,
it's everything you wanted and more. Mm-hmm. All right, let's hop into First Contact, my friend.
Thanks.
Thanks.
Gross. Well. Dare break wind in front of me.
All right. Give us your first contact, Jason.
Okay, so Star Trek II: The Wrath of Khan was the piece of media that introduced me, a impressionable 10-year-old boy, to Star Trek in the first place. I watched it, I loved it, and I have been hooked ever since. This movie has a permanent place in my heart. I actually don't think it is the best Star Trek movie.
Oh,
I think it is an incredible movie, though. I think it is just high entertainment. It is big, bombastic, wonderful special effects sequences, great acting from Shatner and the incredible Ricardo Montalban. I think for an ensemble piece, it works very well because we have some underserved characters who actually get to do quite a bit of very heavy lifting in this one. I think that this is probably the most Walter Koenig has ever been given to do in a movie, and he's very good in it. I love this movie. It's superb. I don't disparage it. It's amazing.
It is amazing, and I wholeheartedly concur with you. I think this is one of the, if not the best. There is always a give and take, a tug of war in the fandom, especially in the household that is Dove. And we always go back and forth between Six and this movie because these are just head and shoulders above the rest. But what I really enjoyed, and I watched it today again, and I've watched it a million times, and it's not like the first time I've seen it, it stands up so well. It did not breakthrough time as I thought it would. I thought for sure it's like, oh, this is probably gonna be hard to watch because you got, you know, the saltatious salamander sitting in the sand. But the special
effects gone wrong.
Yeah, but that even looked really good and held up. I was like, who did this? This is amazing.
I think that what you said about it not being tied to 1982 when it came out, I think you're right. It's very evergreen. They switched the uniforms. Thank goodness they switched the uniforms to those monster maroons that have just been classic.
Yeah,
they don't scream 80s. A couple of the hairdos kind of scream 80s, but mostly I could see this movie being released today with very little change and it looking pretty contemporary. I think they pretty much gave this movie a look of its own, and I really enjoy the way that it played out.
Yeah, and one of the other things that I loved the first time watching this as a kid was the opening sequence, because for a quick second, since I was young and impressionable, I thought the entire bridge crew died. And I'm like, who's this cat? Kill everybody. Who is this lady? She killed everybody. You know, and I was so like shocked. And then it like stopped the simulation. And then you got DeForest Kelly. Well, how was my acting? Like, I really appreciate it because there was a little bit of humor that kind of happens throughout the movie, and it fits so well. And I really appreciated everybody.
You know the real reason why the simulator sequence is in the beginning of the movie, right?
No,
it's because it was, you know, the big thing at the end, the big reveal at the end was that Spock was going to die saving the Enterprise. And even though movie leaks were not as common back then as they were today, it did leak out that Spock was going to die in the new movie.
Oh.
And so I think rather ingeniously, they put the simulator sequence at the very beginning of the movie and everybody got to watch Spock die.
Oh.
And after that, everybody just kind of released their sphincters and was like, okay, we can relax and we can enjoy this movie.
Yeah.
And, you know, Nick Meyer at the end was like, ha 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 ha. And, you know, pretty much ripped all of our hearts out and stomped on it. Logically.
Yeah, I just will never forget the sequence when you get the two ships squaring off that first time. And I really, really loved this shot. It's one of my favorites to this day, even amongst the two shot that you get between the Vengeance and the Enterprise from Star Trek Beyond the Kelvin timeline.
Yes.
Which I thought was a great kind of like comparison to the two shots, but they did it sideways to like kind of throw it off a little bit because it was a remake, but they're trying to tell us that it wasn't.
It was a remake. We all knew it was a remake. It's like, oh yes, this is totally not Khan.
It's Khan. We're sorry.
All respect to Bing Bong Cumberbund. He's no Ricardo Montalban.
No, not at all. I admire him a lot and I think he's a fantastic actor, but
I love Bandersnatch Creamsicle. He's great, but he just wasn't a good con.
No. Bandersnatch.
Bandersnatch Creamsicle. Get it right.
Yeah.
We have to be respectful here.
Yes, that's right. That's right. He would appreciate this. No. If you're watching Benedict Funchicle, yeah, you're the best.
Yes. Yes. Beauregard Cumberbun. We love you here.
Yeah.
I really like that sequence as well when the Enterprise and the Reliant are going across each other, because I think that it really nails home what this movie was looking for. And it was something very naval, like a pirate movie, two ships going against each other. And, you know, whenever they cross like that, that's what ships do whenever they're at war.
Right.
It's Horatio Hornblower, just like Gene Roddenberry always wanted.
Yeah.
I have a cat playing with a plastic bag and I don't know where it is.
Uh-oh. Well, let us hop into pros and cons.
Sometimes it may be good, sometimes it may be shit.
Pros and cons!
Pros and cons! Do you think that Shatner knew whenever he gave that line that he was making an immortal piece of pop culture? Because even people who don't know Star Trek knows Khan!
Yeah. Like, I get shouted on the bus and like at least three people would do it back to me.
Oh, yeah. I imagine there was probably this time in 82, 83, and 84 whenever Shatner would be out in public and somebody would go, Khan! I have been in other movies, you know.
You've got me, Khan. You've got Genesis, but you want me. You're going to have to come down here. You're going to have to come down here and get me, Khan.
I've done far worse than kill you. I heart you. And I wish to go on hearting you. I will leave you the way you left her, marooned for all eternity in the center of a dead planet, buried alive.
Now, you can tell how often I watch this movie.
Exactly. Now, I've got to say, this by far has some of the greatest lines.
Yes.
Yes, it does. In Star Trek history. Like, there's no other movie in the entire franchise that you can quote that's so quotable as this one.
Oh, I completely agree. It's funny because I picked up a copy of Howard the Duck.
Oh.
That was printed about 10 or 15 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And open going through this, there's the whole, you know, you're going to have to come down here, Dr. Bong. You're going to have to kill me. I've done far worse than kill you. I've hurt you. And I'm like, they're doing Star Trek. it is just permeated our pop culture. And the line delivery is great. The lines are great. The writing is incredible, especially considering Nick Meyer had, I think, 4 weeks to write this movie, which is really? An insanely short amount of time.
What?
Yeah, and the theme of the movie is just incredible because, you know, not only is it that tried and true, a hero past his prime story that so many other movies have been trying and getting rejected for. You know, yeah. We had The Last Jedi and we had the last Indiana Jones movie, which personally, a disclaimer, I really enjoyed both of them. Come at me. I don't care if you didn't like The Last Jedi. I liked it. But I don't know, for some reason this movie made it work because Kirk was feeling his age in this movie, and through it all he kind of regains that youth. And just the way they handled it with the theming of a person from your past coming back into your life, and a device that brings forth life from nothing, and the passing of old friends. And I cannot tell you how well written this movie was.
It clicks all the boxes.
It does. And it fixes so much from the first movie, because the first movie was, I enjoyed the first movie. I defended the first movie in our review a couple of weeks ago, but I am going to say it was very sterile. There was not a whole lot of emotions, even whenever, you know, one of the bridge crew gets whacked right in front of everybody. Everybody right. just kind of goes, that's what I mean by a risk. Yes. My girlfriend is dead. The girlfriend who I loved very much. Yeah. I'm very angry with you, Captain. Very angry. Can you not see how angry I am?
Yeah, they're the emotional. Yes,
Decker, I see how angry you are. And I, too, am angry.
It's all in directing. This guy's direction was just incredible.
Nick Meyer is just he just brought so much. I wish he'd have directed more.
I
really wish they'd give him more, because it just seems like every time he directed it was perfect.
Did he also do six?
He did do six. Yes.
See, it's a perfect bow there.
Yes he put a bow on it. First movie and the last movie, we're not counting the first movie. But I like the first movie, so you know. Count it, don't count it, I don't care.
Yeah. What would be a con for you? Con for you.
A con for me.
Yes.
Is finding a con for the Wrath of Khan is nitpicking, I think. But I do remember whenever I was a kid watching this movie, I had no idea who Khan was. Mm-hmm. I think they do a good job of explaining who he is to the point where, yeah, I know this guy's a threat. I know he's got some history with these people, even if I don't know everything. But the fact that Kirk does maroon Khan and his entire crew on Seti Alpha 5.
Seti
Alpha 5! The fact that he maroons them all there and then leaves them and never checks up on them. And to the point that one of the planets in the system explodes and knocks it out of orbit.
Right.
Nobody ever noticed that. Ever like, oh hey, planet just blew up, maybe we should go take a look. It's fine. Khan's fine. It's fine. He's fine. Now I will say, we kind of discussed this before, going and checking up on Khan would probably only just open up the Enterprise to Khan, which is usually not a good thing. But I don't know, to me it hurts Captain Kirk's character. And it makes him inhumane, because he could have gone down there, looked out the window going, there's a city. They're fine. Oh, wait, was that desert there the last time we were here? Wait, this is Seti Alpha 5. Send them down some sunscreen or something, you know. Oh, there's some parasitic worms down there. Well, send down some earmuffs. They'll be fine. Just think about that. If they just had earmuffs on the Botany Bay, Khan would not have been anywhere near as salty as he was whenever he shows up in the movie.
Yeah, his wife would have never perished.
He would have just shown up, taken the suit off, and then had the earmuffs off, and Commander Chekhov. Hello. Been a long time. How is Kirk? Yeah. I love Maltoban's delivery was just fantastic. Every single line. He just
Every time he's on screen, it's like, yeah, what's gonna happen now?
He is Shatner, because Shatner milks every scene he's in, but right. Ricardo milks every scene he's in, and it's exquisite.
Yes.
Every word he just pulls out. And he's just, I miss Ricardo Montalban.
I do.
So much. I miss him so much. I was watching something about the making of Spy Kids 3 the other
day. Yes, you were saying that.
Yes. He was wheelchair bound, and they built a rig so that they could do motion capture with him in the wheelchair. And just
fantastic.
Everything he did, from the Naked Gun to Fantasy Island, just rich Corinthian leather. He was talking about his voice.
Yes.
I would emulate Ricardo Montalban if I had a squidge of that talent.
You definitely have the talent.
I can do a poor impression of him. I mean, let's not inflate my ego too much here. I am being humble in the mention of greatness.
Yeah. Okay. One of the things I love, my pros and cons, the biggest pro of this film, as we've been talking about, is Ricardo Montalban and the suits that they made. It's like a spacesuit, but it got ripped.
Yes.
And he had that glove, and they never explained why he had the glove.
I have to stop you for a second because, your mom is gossiping.
Oh, my mom's gossiping. Okay. Let's see. All right, so well, let's run to the comments real quick. I'm super happy to see Sarah Andrews. Hi, Sarah. Last time we were here, we had some technical issues. We couldn't play your comments. Wrath of Khan? Yes, walk.
Oh, I was getting hungry for Chinese food there for a second.
But let's take a look. Hey, Sister First Presbyterian Church of Newark, New Jersey. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Damien's got a really good, we go.
Ricardo would have made a great Bond villain.
I'm kind of surprised he wasn't because I don't know. I guess maybe it's just the Naked Gun, but I was thinking he was a Bond villain, but I think it was the Naked Gun I'm thinking of.
Yeah, I think so. I think you're right.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
But now I want to watch the Naked Gun now.
Yeah, I'll be doing that. I'll be doing that afterwards. And then, yes, Sarah Andrews agrees with Damien. Yes.
Very
true.
So you went and saw this movie as an infant. That's something else. Yeah. So you're the one whenever Khan is sitting there going, I'll chase him around the entire maelstrom and around.
Yes, that's me. If you saw this when I was a child in the theater and you heard the screaming, if you were in Rhode Island, sorry.
You could be owed financial compensation.
You could get a sticker or something. Joe, to see this
because now there's some old person watching this going, that was you
all this time, Dove.
I have been and always shall be your. Okay, I gotta throw this comment up there. Hold on.
Sure.
Khan dialogue or General Chang? I'm gonna give it to Khan because General Chang's dialogue was mostly Shakespeare.
True.
Which Shakespeare is awesome, and Christopher Plummer killed it every single time. But he's just not Ricardo Montalban.
Yeah.
He's just not Ricardo Montalban. Ricardo Montalban's voice is pure sex. Let's be honest.
It's true.
You just walk in, he goes, hello, I am Ricardo. And 20 women in the theater got pregnant. Right there.
The thing about Chang, I thought that he really hammed it up to be on level with Montalban. He really threw it up. And he's spinning around in his chair. And it was so dope when they did Picard season 3. To have his daughter spinning around in the chair. I was like,
oh, yeah, like father, nice, like daughter.
Yeah, this is a nice nod.
Yeah, but Ricardo didn't have to ham it up. He was just naturally there.
Yeah.
I would love to have seen like an alternate universe where Ricardo Montalban played General Chang. Could you imagine that?
Oh,
that would be amazing. He'll cry havoc and let's sleep the dogs of war. Every time I try to do Ricardo Montalban, it sounds like Puss in Boots, and I apologize.
It's okay. It's great though.
Fear me,
I am Khan.
Now, one thing about Khan was he was quoting some literature too. His last scene was from Hell's Heart. I spit at the with my
that laugh. Was Moby Dick.
That's Moby Dick, right? Yes. And he did Paradise Lost.
Yes,
and he like took bits and so there's literature all throughout both of those. But
oh yes, which is a Star Trek staple, is you know
right.
Quoting sources that 99% of the audience has never read.
What? Wow, do you believe he said that? That yes. was amazing. Yeah.
99% of the audience and Lily from First Contact never read. Still one of my favorite jokes whenever he uses Moby Dick against Picard, and Picard gets mad, smashes a window, and then quotes Moby Dick, and she's like, what are you talking about? Moby Dick. Oh, I never read it.
She would have been like, huh? Yeah. Some of my other big pro on this movie was the dogfight, the ships passing each other, the battles, and then we've got some of these beautiful images to
it
share.
It goes from being a naval battle to being a submarine battle.
Yeah.
It just, you don't even notice it switches like that. It's just so great.
It is. Let's take a look at some of those. We got
yes, please do. Oh,
the first encounter before they muck each other up.
Yes.
So beautiful. I mean,
forgive my automatic litter box noises right there. My cats are determined to ruin the show one way or the other.
It's okay. We love them.
Yes.
Of course, you get the revenge shot.
Yes.
Later on in the film. But this is probably my favorite shot of all Star Trek.
I always say during that shot, when the Enterprise is coming up from behind the Reliant, the Hornering intensifies.
Yes.
Yes. James Horner wrote an amazing score for this movie.
He did. And that's Jay Ashcheriff had mentioned that. We'll bring that up in Fire at Will. But this scene, this shot is just incredible. You get the neck of the Enterprise. This is still the refit, not the A yet. You get those really cool shots.
It's the A. Come on. The only thing, the only difference is one letter. Come on.
We all know that. We put an A on it.
We should make a whole new starship for the last 5 minutes of Star Trek 4. No, we're not going to do that. Nobody's going to come see this movie. There's never going to be another sequel. Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. They love it.
They love the one with the whales. But it also gives you this really cool shot of the Reliant. And, you know, getting ready to blast the Enterprise with the torpedoes. And one thing that I thought was cool about the Reliant is it had multiple torpedo arrays.
Yes.
The ones that are on top of the captain.
It's a cool ship. I really like it.
It's a very cool ship.
Yeah. I have the original script for... Actually, let me scoot over here and get it. I have the script.
Oh, wow.
And, I need to flip through here and find it.
Ooh.
But I really like the way that the script talks about what the Reliant looks like.
Ooh.
So let me flip through here. There's Terrell. There's Bones. I'm looking for the first scene with the Reliant. My cat just smacked the side of the script for absolutely no reason.
You can't get me, Khan.
Let's see. Here we go. In foreground is the USS Reliant, an older, somewhat battered starship of the Enterprise class.
Oh, wait a minute.
So they were planning to make the Reliant the TV version of the Enterprise.
Oh, that would have been so cool.
Yeah, so, and it's actually the first of two times we almost saw a classic Constitution class ship in Star Trek movies. Here's some trivia for you. What was the second time we almost saw it?
Star Trek 5, maybe?
Star Trek 2009.
Really?
The USS Kelvin was originally written as the Enterprise.
Oh, wow.
And it was going to be the original Enterprise, and it was going to get blown up in the first 5 minutes. And the Enterprise that Kirk takes command of was going to be the Enterprise A. Paramount read the script and was like, you can't blow up the Enterprise in the first 5 minutes. Not until the third movie.
Yeah. Not until the third.
The beeping litter box is the wrath of murder beam. Yes, it is quite wrathful in here right now.
That's amazing. That would have been kind of cool, like to see.
It would have been. I understand where Paramount's coming from.
Yeah.
But at the same time, that would have been a heck of a way to start the movie. Take out the classic Enterprise and just blow the heck out of it. Yeah. It would have made so many Star Trek fans angry.
That would have been cool.
It would have been.
Oh, it's Murder Bean.
It's Murder Bean. Did you have a good poop?
Yes,
you have a good poop.
All for you. Thank you. Oh my goodness, so cute. And it's like total darkness, and then those eyes just peer out back at you.
I didn't want to just poop. I wanted to hurt you. And I wish to go on hurting you.
Buried alive.
Buried alive.
Another great clip of the ships is when they're in the nebula and the Enterprise is a little bit more worse for wear.
Yes.
But oh, this shot, this side shot is so incredible. It is.
I just love the whole creeping around the nebula bit. Speaking of the nebula.
Yes.
Such an interesting special effect.
Oh.
Do you know how they made the nebula?
No, I do not. Please.
Water and food coloring.
What? Really?
That's it. They put water and food coloring and they just filmed the results.
Wow.
They just let it settle into these patterns and they just filmed it and they used that as a backdrop and they added a few little animated enhancements to it. And that's how we got the Mutara Nebula. And the Mutara Nebula looks so good that they reused it all the way up until the Voyager in Deep Space Nine days.
Wow.
Yes.
That's incredible. I had no idea.
Absolutely. Absolutely. The nebula that the Enterprise hides in from the Borg, Mutara Nebula.
Oh.
Yes.
Mutara Nebula.
But you know, if you got a special effect that looks really good, especially in the pre-CGI days, you're going to use it over and over again.
I believe, if I'm not mistaken, and you can correct me, were they Wintano Vaughn's real breasts or fake ones?
Okay, I can tell you from everything I've read, they were real.
Oh,
and
wow.
They were spectacular.
Look at that. I had no idea.
I should have called this movie The Pecs of Khan.
Khan! Yes.
God! Bring, 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 bring. I wonder if he could have done that if he had done like one peck at a time like The Rock does.
Probably.
It's like, Kirk! What are you doing?
I'm not doing anything. What are you doing?
This is how I stand, naturally. Don't you do this? and then my final shot of the ship when it gets fired upon, that pulverizing shot that pretty much sends the whole ship into a tizzy.
Yes.
And leads us to the end of the film where we have to say goodbye because, you know, Kirk was going to jump in there and let all that radiation kill us all. No. And what I love is there's a guy holding Kirk, like, you know, crewman.
I know. What is he just really short?
I don't know if he's short or is he like really putting his everything into like.
I don't know. It's just so awkward. And I know they did it for the staging so that nobody would cover Shatner's face. I'm pretty sure Shatner probably threw it like, he is in front of me. I am the star. Down on your knees, boy.
I don't want you. Looney. Shot.
No, I honestly, as a kid, I was fascinated with little people. And that is probably not very politically correct to say. And I don't mean that in a negative way. I just mean I was fascinated by them.
Okay.
I was fascinated that they existed. And so in my head, whenever I saw that the hair down there, I was just like, oh, they have a little person on the Enterprise.
Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah, that's just it. I was like, oh, little person. They're being inclusive. I like that.
Yeah.
I didn't understand those words. I was like 10 years old. So I was probably used like. And inadvertently used a slur back then, which I thought was acceptable at the time, which I know is now not. But yeah, I'm just a little person. I want to see little people used in non-stereotypical roles. I want to see just a little person walking along the Enterprise, just like, Captain, Commander, how are you?
Or how about a captain? Like,
yeah.
I can see them. Peter Dinklage would be an amazing.
Peter Dinklage would be an awesome captain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my God, they're missing an opportunity.
Absolutely, here. Absolutely.
Unless he hates Star Trek, then that would suck. But
if he hated Star Trek, I would be very disappointed. But I would forgive him because he's amazing.
Yeah,
he's an amazing actor.
I'd let it go. Yeah. Of course, we have to go into my one con for the my one con. I was gonna do a soundboard thing, but then I think it would kind of get annoying after a while.
Wouldn't have gotten annoying. Come on, if people were watching this with you and me on here cracking these stupid jokes, you would see a soundboard as a pleasant interruption.
So and there's always this canon fight, because in Space Seed, which is the first time we meet Khan, Chekhov's not there.
Yes.
So how the hell did Khan know Chekhov?
Okay.
You have an answer for that?
There has been an explanation for that.
No way, really?
Whenever the Star Trek license was with Marvel, they did a series of comics set between the motion picture and part two.
Mm-hmm.
And in one of them, the bridge crew is talking about the scariest time that they ever had on the Enterprise. You know, Sulu's like, well, that one time that we had the evil spores on the Enterprise was really scary.
That's a really good George Takei.
Thank you. And Chekhov says, oh, yeah, that one time that Khan and his people got on board the Enterprise, I was really scared. And everybody, and then there's this panel of everybody looking at him and nobody says anything. Like, what? Because
you weren't there.
You were not here whenever that happened. And he goes, yeah, I was. I was working down in Astrometrics. You remember? Does no one remember that I've been on the ship for, you know, I the bridge was not my first posting. I've been on the ship for years.
Oh, wow.
Everybody's just like looking at him and, you mean no one remembers? And so, you know, it kind of recontextualizes that scene whenever he goes, but I never forget a face.
Yeah.
Chekhov is like, really? You remember me? Yes. You served me that chicken enchilada in the mess hall. It was cold.
Uh-oh.
Chicken enchilada is a dish that is not best served cold.
Yes. Oh, the line of the night. Chicken enchilada.
I want to know how Khan knows what Klingon sayings are, to be honest.
Yeah.
Because honestly, the whole thing should be dish is a best, is a revenge is a dish best served cold. It's an old Klingon saying. What's a Klingon?
Yeah, like, that would have been great.
I know. Is that like whenever you're really sweaty and you get like the little hairballs stuck in your butt? Are those Klingons?
The Klingons. No. Those are dingleberries.
I've been calling them Klingons this whole time. Now I just feel foolish. Fire!
Yes, that. Speaking of fire, that is fire!
Fire! Oh, he was having so much fun.
You know he
okay.
was.
Right there, you can tell the pecs are real.
Yeah.
Those are real. Those are not plastic. Those are not latex. We are not going to disparage Ricardo Montalban's amazing pectoral muscles in this video. They are real and they are spectacular.
Yes. And I was also find it funny that the guy in the background, like way in the back, has this weird like amalgamation of Uncle Fester and one of the kids from the Kids in the Hall. going on. And I was like, is that the guy from the Kids? Like, I watched it today again, and I was like, is that the guy from the Kids in the Hall? Like, pause. It's like, no.
It kind of does look like Scott Thompson.
It looks like Scott Thompson.
Yeah.
Sure. I'm glad you know his name.
Darn, yeah.
And then
like,
we got...
Yeah, he's like Uncle Fester and Scott Thompson had a baby.
Yeah, look at that. Uncle
Fester. I've never looked at those guys in the background, but here's a question for you, though.
Yeah, no problem.
So Khan and his people go up on the Reliant, and they leave the Reliant crew behind on SETI Alpha 5.
SETI Alpha 5!
Yeah, but here's the thing that kind of bothered me in later years whenever I sit at home alone and the power goes out and I have time to think about things. I'm assuming Khan and his followers... got busy and had families of their own, right?
That means
there were children on the Reliant.
Oh no! They blew up Khan's kids.
It's like I just want to see that. I want to see Lower Decks do that. Just like the story of Jimmy Khan.
Like, Daddy, are we going on the spaceship?
Yes, right, little Jimmy. We are going to go off and we are going to get revenge.
Oh, goody. Look, Daddy, it's the other spaceship.
Yes, little Jimmy.
Are you going to blow it up?
We sure are. Nothing bad will happen to you.
Yay! I'm going to live a long time.
Genesis! Oh, no.
Daddy, why is this thing on the transporter pad glowing? Daddy? Daddy!
All right, I guess it's time to fire at will. What do you think?
Yeah, let's blow him up. Let's
do it. Fight it well.
Gives me a great time to cough. That's the last remnant.
I know. There goes. We're having some more murder bean wrath.
Oh, moment. Nice.
Yeah. Wrath of murder bean.
Yes.
So Jay Asher.
It's one of those things. It's got you look in the litter and you just see something moving and the cat just grabs it. Like, ah!
It puts it in Chakotay's ear.
Come here, Fizz Gig. This goes.
Surprise Playboy didn't sign him up. Yeah.
Oh, I'm sure they probably asked.
Like, yeah.
You would need a very large centerfold if you know what I mean. God. It would have to be held together with duct tape and rebar, not staples. They are not mighty enough to hold back.
Yes.
My vengeance. That's what I call it.
Yes.
Vengeance.
It's served cold. would Plummer have made a good con? Damon, thanks for the question.
I think Plummer would have done a great job as Khan. I think Ricardo would have done a great job as Chang, but I'm glad I live in the universe where they played the roles that they were born to play.
Yes, I agree. I agree. And then my mom's just throwing love to your cat.
There you go.
Oh, more murder bean.
Hello. Guess what I just did again? I left you a surprise. City Alpha 5 in the litter box.
Oh man, so there were some really touching moments that I thought were really good, including the conversation between Savick and Spock.
Yes.
In Vulcan, which I thought was really cool.
They recorded that in English. Oh. And then dubbed over it in a different language. So if you turn off the volume and just watch their lips, they're saying the lines in English.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
I
wish that they would have kept the plot point that Savick was half Romulan.
I wish they kept that in the movie.
Because you can kind of see little parts of it popping up. And there is a deleted scene in the network television version in which a character says to Kirk, or Kirk says something about, yeah, it's probably that Romulan half of her that we've been hearing so much about. And that explains why you see these little flashes of emotion from her, because it's her Romulan side and her Vulcan side at war with each other.
Yeah.
So I wish they would have kept that in there, but I can also understand why they kicked it out, because this is a very lean and mean movie, and they really didn't want to dally on things that didn't affect the plot that much.
Yeah. Yeah. It would have been interesting to explore that though, especially since you have a follow-up movie, because technically this is part of a trilogy.
Yes. Yes, it is the Genesis trilogy,
as I call Genesis.
It. Yeah. Genesis. And then we got
Doc Brown came after it in the next movie.
Well, we'll talk about him whenever. Yeah, I got things.
Yeah.
I got some things to say about
him. I got some Chris. Things to say.
And they're all good. They're all good.
Oh, yeah. Chris and I share the same birthday, fun fact.
Oh, really?
That's cool. October 22nd. Yeah, the exact same birthday. Crazy. And the other thing was the ripple effect of space and time, and that is Kirk having a kid.
Yes.
Look at baby Kirk.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Carol Marcus and Kirk.
Yes, yes. Merrick Buttrick was his name, I believe. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, sounds good.
Yeah,
I'll go with that. Sure. The funny thing about what's his name, David, right?
David, yes.
David Marcus was in. I think people got confused with the Kelvin movie because I think they mentioned that Kirk knew about David in Strange New Worlds, and they were like, "Oh, it must be an alternate timeline because he knew about." His kid that he's about to have.
No, he knew about him in Star Trek
2 in this movie.
The first thing he asks is that David?
Yeah, exactly. He always knew. So there wasn't a mystery. And they mentioned it. They were like, no, you wanted to stay away. And you wanted me to stay away. And I did because I was out here gallivanting across the galaxy. So I'm pretty sure that those things were taken care of and people just may have forgotten. So if you are a big Strange New Worlds fan and didn't know about that, here you are. Go back and watch one of the greatest.
Watch the classics before you open your mouth.
Exactly. We got another great question for Damon. And okay. That is, what character was most underutilized in this movie?
It's a toss-up for me.
Oh, really?
Sulu or Uhura? Sulu.
Ooh, yeah.
I'm going to say Uhura because Uhura was given the short stick in the motion picture and in The Wrath of Khan, and especially in The Search for Spock.
Oh, yes.
She was short. I don't even know why they kept her out of The Search for Spock, because it just seemed like such a disservice. And her one scene was awesome. The big scene where she, I'm talking about part three, but the one scene where she throws the one guy in the closet, I thought that was great. Why?
Yeah.
We want her on our side. We're glad you're on our side. Now we're leaving you here. Fine. No, you're leaving Chekhov here.
Yeah, exactly.
In that stupid Dutch boy outfit that he's in. Get off the transporter pad.
Get off the transporter.
Stop pad. Crying, Chekhov.
But I want to go on nuclear vessels.
You know what's great? Talking about the butterfly effect.
What's that?
Without Khan, the Federation would have been destroyed.
What?
How? Oh, yeah. Without Khan, the Federation would have been destroyed because without Khan, the Enterprise would have never been attacked. Spock would have never died.
Okay.
If Spock had never died, Kirk and his crew would have never stolen the Enterprise to go rescue him.
Mm-hmm.
And if they had never stolen the Enterprise, they would have been there on Earth when the whale probe showed up, and humanity would have been a screwed.
Oh.
So Khan is essentially a Federation hero.
In a weird way.
In a very weird roundabout way.
Yeah.
He saved the Federation. Now imagine if Q would have shown up right before the Reliant blew up and said, "Oh, you must be Khan. I have something to tell you. You just saved the entire Federation.
Oh.
You just made Kirk a hero. You gave him back command of the Enterprise." What?
From hell's heart, I'm really upset now.
I don't know what to say.
You made my day worse.
Again, I should be on the writing staff of Lower Decks.
Yeah, these are all really fun things.
And that would have been a great short trek.
It would have.
Great short. Bring back short treks.
Yeah.
But, you know, my personal opinion, pay your writers and actors first.
Yes. Let's get that over with. I mean,
yes. We're all tired of it. We know the studios are the bad guys. Quit. Yeah. Just stop. Just stop.
Let it go. Pay people.
Pay them.
They do so much wonderful things. Like, this writing in this movie is proof of purchase.
Yes.
That shows you how good writing makes a movie. This is still, to this day, one of the best Star Trek movies. And it's because of the writing. So pay your writers. Yes. And then it's because of the acting. So pay your actors.
Yes. Oh. AI is never going to give you a movie like this. No. Never.
And not
it's going to give you weird movies where somebody has fingers out of their head and like they're not wearing pants,
right?
And then they start shouting Nazi propaganda at the screen.
Yeah, it'll be it's
yeah, come on, we know what AI is gonna do. It's gonna look at the internet and go, "Oh, humanity has to die,"
and then blow us all up.
They won't be wrong. It will not be wrong.
It's gonna be a rough
we'll have
time.
Terminators coming after us going, "I will chase you around the moons of Nebula and around perdition's flames before I give you up,"
and then I blow you up. Another thing I noticed, the phasers change in this movie, the phasers and the tricorder, the communicator.
Yes. I didn't like the wrist unit from the motion picture. I'm glad they got rid of that because I like the handheld thing. It's a lot of fun. I mean, the
precursor,
I forgot which side.
These are the, it's over here.
Those are fun too. Yeah. But just something about holding something and talking, "Khan, you bloodsucker. You're going to have to come down here, Khan. You're going to have to come down here." You know, I just love that. I love that. And I really like the phasers, too. I have a Star Trek 2 phaser in my living room, but I'm not going to go grab it right now.
No, don't worry about it.
I found it in Japan. It was awesome. So
that's cool.
Yeah. So it was just awesome. I just love that look.
Yeah. I like it better than the deflector dish phasers that they had in the original series.
Now, those are charming.
They're charming.
I have two of them, and I love them.
Yeah, they're neat. They're neat, but that one in this movie was so cool. It had such like detail, and like it, like when it shot, it wasn't just like a beam. It was like four different beams.
It was like a flat plane, and
it was like a bunch of it was so cool. The effects, everything was so neat. I just loved it. I just absolutely loved it. And then, of course, we've got Lower Decks coming out next week. I thought we were going to have
it next week.
It's next week. Yeah.
I love that show. And it's not union. So it's safe for us to look at.
Exactly. We can chat about it. We're going to have a good time. We may have special guests. I'll keep you posted.
It should be union, but it's not.
It's not. Yeah.
I mean, it's a different union.
Right. And they're not on strike yet.
And they're not on strike.
Yeah. Hopefully they won't be.
Please don't.
Please don't
take this from us. Yeah. I want to talk some LD. Lower decks.
Lower decks. So please join us next week. Jason Roy Gaston, thank you so much for being the co-host of the Captain's Quadrant.
The pleasure was all yours.
Yeah, absolutely. I really appreciate you joining us each and every week. We're going to have a lot of fun in the Lower Deck seasons that's coming up. They're going to be 2-for-1. So hopefully this cough is mucus is all out of me and we can just get this rolling copyright free. All the goodness that is Lower Decks, because we're going to have a full hour premiere. It's going to be 2 episodes back to back. So lots of fun.
Real noise.
So we'll see you then. I wish everyone that's watching a best life, long life, and peace. So yeah, until next time. I'm going
to give the sarcastic salute.
What? So until next time, be well.